Today's shiur is Masechta Beya, Daf Chaf Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis in the middle of the Amud at the Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, we had learned three halachas where Rabbi Gamliel was even more machmer than Beis Hillel. Now, our Mishnah will list us three situations where Rabbi Gamliel was a mekel. Afhu Omar Shlosh Dvarim L'Hakel. Rabbi Gamliel also taught us three things L'Kula. Mechabnin Beis Hamitas. Gamliel says we could sweep the dining room. The dining room is called the Beis Hamitas, the room of the beds, because they used to recline on beds while eating. And Gamliel holds that one may sweep such an area. And as we're going to learn in a moment, at the end of the Mishnah, the Chum Oitzim, the Chum hold, that one may not sweep such an area. The way Rashi explains the Machloikas of Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, Rabbi Gamliel holds that even though the floor is an earthen floor, and there is perhaps a concern about Shvui Gumois, that it'll clear out the floor, he may fill in ditches, which is similar to Boina, and should be prohibited on Yontif. Since it's a Dovah Shed Miskaven, he has no intent of being Mashve Gumis, it's Mutter. The Chachamim, on the other hand, hold that since it's inevitable that this will happen, even Rav Shimon, who holds that a Dovah Shed Miskaven, something that's not intended, is Mutter, a Psik Reisha, something that's inevitable, is awesome. Taisus Yontif is somewhat not satisfied with this explanation of Rashi Shita, because we know that the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that Rav Shimon agrees that a Psik Reisha, even a Dovah Shed Miskaven, something I don't intend to do, but if it's a Psik Reisha, if it's something that's certainly going to happen, Rav Shimon agrees is Osir. So why would he be Mekel here? And it's hard, says the Tosfos Yontif, to explain that there's a Machloikis in a Metzias. Is it inevitable or is it not inevitable? It is or it isn't. Therefore, the Tosfos Yontif says, it's not necessarily Psik Reisha. It's not certain that it will happen. However, it's very likely to happen. Tana Kama, Rabbi Gamliel holds, since it's not inevitable, it remains a Dovah Shein and Miskaven, and it's Mutter. The Chachamim, even though they agree that Dovah Shein and Miskaven is Mutter, since it's so likely to happen, in this situation they hold it's Osir. The other Rishonim have a different approach to our Mishnah. Some explain that our Mishnah is referring when you move earth as Muksa. Others learn that it's a concern that you may break the bristles of the broom. That's the concern. However, we will learn the Gemara, we will learn the Mishnah, as we said according to Rashi, the concern is Ashvui Gumash. And actually the Rishonim, in explaining along Rashi's line, make a number of qualifications to Rabbi Gamliel's lenient opinion. One sheet I saw is that the Meiri brings this, that it's only the Beis Hamitos, a small room where it's not that likely that you will be Mashve Gumis, where a Gamliel is Mekel. But to clear the entire house, or to clear large areas, Rabbi Gamliel would also agree it's awesome. I saw from the Ramban that Rabbi Gamliel would only be Mekel in a room that was swept from Erev Yontif. So since it was swept from Erev Yontif, that's why it's not that likely that there are any more ditches, and there'll be Ashvui Gumois, and that's why Rabbi Gamliel is Maker. Otherwise he would be Machmer. I also saw that it's only the dining room where his purpose is to clean up crumbs and other food that might have fallen on the floor. That's why we're not that concerned that he's going to be Mashve Gumis. Anywhere else, he will agree is awesome. Because if it's a Psik Reisha, it's awesome. I saw an interesting Shaila. What would be the Halacha on a Suffolk Psik Reisha? For example, if one is invited to a house, to an apartment house, the house may have some sort of an electronic surveillance system, and therefore when you walk in, a picture may be taken of you, or you may cause other electronic devices to go on, but you don't know is a mutter or asr to go into that house? So I saw that the Paiskim explain it this way. We hold like Rav Shimon that a dovah she'eino miskaven is mutter. Why? Because the Torah tells us that in Shabbos only a meleches machsheves is asr. A dovah she'eino miskaven is not a meleches machsheves. And in fact, Rashi and Tosfos say that even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a dovah she'eino miskaven is asr, he only says it's asr midrabbanan. Because Rabbi Yehuda, of course, agrees that the Torah only prohibited a meleches machsheves, and a dovish eino miskaven is not a meleches machsheves. However, a psik reisha, where Rabbi Shimon, and certainly Rabbi Yehuda hold, is asr, is in the category of meleches machsheves. Because since it's inevitable to happen, what's the situation of psik reisha? A psik reisha means, can I cut off a chicken's head and it will not die? It's certainly going to die. It's inevitable. The inevitability creates a situation of meleches machsheves. But inevitability is only when it's for sure that I know it's going to happen, that it puts it into the realm of meleches machsheves. However, in a situation where it may for sure happen, but I don't know if it's going to surely happen, that is certainly not a meleches machsheves, and therefore the halacha is that a suffolk psik reisha, the Sefer Yesodei Yeshurun says, is mutter. The next case that they discussed, umenichin es hamugma b'yontif, incense may be placed on burning coals on yontif. The Gemara will discuss this more. Voicing gedil mekulos b'leil psachim, and Gamliel held we could roast a whole goat along with all the insides along the side of it on Pesach. V'cham oisim v'cham say that all these three things are awesome. Amar Rav Asi, says Rav Asi, machloikis, the machloikis in our Mishnah, whether incense could be burnt on Yontif, is only legamer. It wants to burn incense to put perfume onto a garment. As Rashi explains, they would put clothing above burning incense so that it should absorb the smell of the incense. That's where we have a machloikis. Avla riach, if one wants to put fragrance into a room, everybody will hold that it's mutter. Divrei Hakol mutter. Ask the Mefarshim. As we learned, there's a concept of mitoich. Mitoich shot l'tzoyrich, hot l'nami shloy l'tzoyrich. If something is mutter for a permitted purpose, it always is permitted. So ask the Mefarshim, in our case, it was saying that incense, if Rav Asi is saying that incense may be burnt for give a room a good smell, it should be mele be mutter even to use it for putting perfume, a smell into the garment because of the concept of mitoich. So Mefarshim explained that mitoich does not work by a tikkun keli when one is making a utensil. And Rashi actually here explains that when one has incense put onto a garment, it's tikkun keli, and therefore we cannot apply the concept of mitoich. Ask the Gemara Meisvei, it says in a braisa, hey, mechabdin beis hamitzvah b'yontif. We're not let us sweep the dining room on yontif, b'shabes Gamliel mechabdin. In Gamliel's home, they did sweep the dining room. Amr Reb Lozabat Tzadik, par b'mahabin nechnasti achar abol beis Reb Gamliel. Many times I entered a home after my father of Gamliel, v'loi mechabdin beis hamitzvah b'yontif. They would not sweep the dining room on Yontif, al mechabnei some erev Yontif. They would sweep it on erev Yontif, or parsnim sedeim. They would put sheets on the floor, lamachik sh'archem nechnasim. On the next day, when guests came in, mesakan sedeim, they would remove these cloths. V'nim tzabayis meskaven me'elov, and you had a swept floor. Amaloi. So the chachamim who hold that Rav Gamliel said that sweeping is permitted on Yontif, im kain, if that's what Rav Gamliel did, ap Shabbos mutalas is kain. That's permitted to do even on Shabbos. There's no chiddush in that. Veim nichen es hamugma b'yontif. Furthermore, he said we're not allowed to put incense on burning coals on Yontif. And the home of Rav Gamliel they did. Amar Lozabat Sodik. Pam habit nechnas Nechnasti ach abe beis Gamliel. Many times I would go with my father to Gamliel's home. They didn't put the incense on coals in Yontif. They used to bring such metal cans that had holes in them. They would put the smoke of the incense in them before Yontif. Then they would plug those holes up before Yontif. The next day when guests would arrive, they would unplug the holes, and the whole house would have this pleasant smell. So the Chachamim, who said the Gamliel holds that you may put Mugmar on Yontif, said, Im Kain, if that's what was done, after Shabbos Mutalas Kain, even a Shabbos, that could be done. So from this part of the Brisa we see that the Machloikis is about Legamre Sabayis, La Riach, if you're allowed to put incense to make the house smell nicely. And even that is a machloikis. So how could Rav Asi make a statement when it comes to making the house have a fragrant smell? Everybody agrees that it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Ali Kietmar, Hachietmar. If we learned Rav Asi's statement, this is the way to understand Rav Asi's statement. Amar Rav Asi, machloikis lariach. There's a machloikis so we could burn incense to give the room a pleasant smell. Avo legamer. If the purpose is to give the house, to make the clothing have a nice smell, everybody will agree that it's osur, because it's a dover she'ena shovel chol nefesh. Even though the halacha is that on yontif, as we've learned, oichol nefesh is mutter, it has to be something that everybody would do. Since most people don't use such, don't put incense on the clothing, it's only the wealthy people that do it, so this shita holds that it's also to be done on Yontif. Ibailuhu. So they asked a similar question. Ma'alu Ashin. What is the halacha? Can we smoke fruits in Yontif in the smoke of burning spices? What they would do is they would expose the fruit to the smell of these burning spices, that they should absorb that smell, and it should be pleasant on your, they have the fruit eat that way. Rav Yirmi Ba'arva Oma Rav Osir, he holds that it's Osir, Vishmul Oma Mutter, and Shmuel holds it's permitted. Rav Huna says Osir, Neshe Mechaba, because when the person puts the spices on the coals, he extinguishes the coals, and therefore, it's Osir. Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman asked him, "V'neimah me'ah Rav Neshe Mavir? Why don't you say that it's also osur because he's making a fire? After the spices are put on the coals, they begin to heat up and eventually ignite. So there should be the isser of mavir. And most mafarshim explain that this will not be an isser mavir of deraisa, but at least it'll be an isser mavir derabbanan. Amalei Rav Huna said, "Yes, you're correct. Tchilasoi mechaber." First, when he puts the spice down, he's over the malacha of mechaber of extinguishing the coals. And then, the sofer maver, and later on, it's considered mavir because the coals ignite. And as the Mefarshim explained, Rav Huna holds that putting spices into the fruit is it not a dova hashovel chal nefesh? So dova she'en a shovel chal nefesh. It's not something that everybody needs, and therefore mechaba and maver are not permitted under such circumstances. Rav Yehuda says, Rav Yehuda, agab gecheles, putting the spices on top of burning coals is osur. However, agab echeres, if it's put on top of a hot earthenware tray, that's mutter. And Rashi explains, there is no iser of mechaba when we put it on this hot earthenware, because there are no coals being extinguished, and there is no iser mavir, explains Rashi, because it's mavir kalachiyad. It's not the normal way of kindling something, of igniting something, and that's why it's mutter. Especially as we just explained, since the entire discussion is anyway that the havara would only be the rabbanon, that's why we could be more lenient here. Tosfos has a different approach, and Tosfos says that even if this is considered a regular situation of mavir, Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi that says that mavir on yontif is different than all other malachas, and mavir we could be makel with on yontif even if it's not a pure regular tzarech chol nefesh, like our situation with a dover shein shovel chol nefesh. But then Tosfos somewhat retreats, and he doesn't want to completely agree with the Yerushalmi, and he says that one should not ignite a fire unless there's a real tzarech. However, the Paiskim do say that, given what we just learned from Tosfos, that Mavir is somewhat more lenient than all other Malachas and Yontif, that's why we are more lenient in allowing a fire to be lit on Yontif. We could light, the Paiskim say, candles in Shul for any purpose. If there's a Bris Milah, the minig is that we light extra candles. We could light as many candles as we want. In fact, I even saw, let's say somebody forgot to put on candles on Yontif, that we say Yisker, and people have a minig that they put on a candle when Yisker is said, perhaps that a candle may be lit, specifically if that candle is lit in the room where people, when you're going to eat afterwards your Yontif meal, there's always more of a simcha, the Gemara says, when candles are lit, and one would be allowed to light candles. Again, because Taisha said, Mavir, lighting a fire on Yontif, is one of the most lenient melachas. Rav Amar, Agav Echeres, Nami Asam. Rava says that even smoking fruit by putting spices on hot earthenware is prohibited, but he says for a different reason. It creates a fragrance in the earthenware, which is awesome. It says the Gemara, Rava Rav Yosef Darmit Tavaya, Schufi Kasa Shiroi, taking a cup that has a nice smell and putting it on silk garments on Yontif is awesome. My Tama, why? He's creating a nice fragrance in this garment. Ask the Gemara, we learned that one could take a piece of psamim, roll it between his fingers, that will bring out the smell of, and the fragrance. The kaitmai, or he could clip it, and also that will cause the fragrance to spread. Answers the Gemara, that is not a good comparison. Hosom Reicha Miyisa. Over there, the fragrance already exists. The Sufu Hu to come Eisaf Reicha. All he wants to do is to enhance that fragrance, expose that fragrance. Hocha Eludo to come Eloid Reicha. However, here, he wants to create a new fragrance, and that is awesome. And that leads us to discuss the Shaila under which circumstances may one apply air freshener, deodorants, and other things that cause a nice fragrance on Yontif. So the Paiskim, the Shalash and Shuvas Rav Palim say that certainly if one puts a spice or an ingredient into a food which has a pleasant smell, so besides adding taste to the food, it also gives the food a pleasant smell, that is certainly mutar on Yontif. His purpose is to cook, that's Oichel Nefesh. Furthermore, the Paiskim say, if one sprays an air freshener in a room, since he's not applying it to any specific item, he's just spreading it around the room, I saw from the Debrei Sinarov that he holds that it's mutter. Similarly, he says that you could spray insect repellent. You're not spraying it on any specific item, so even if that insect repellent does have a nice smell, it's permitted. However, the question is, the most relevant question is, applying a fragrance to a person. And this shaila actually is a shaila that's an old shaila, it's already in Machlokes, the earlier Paiskim. Because the Taz and Magen Avraham discuss that the minig was when Kohanim would go duchen, they would have a bowl of water, rose water, had a very nice smell, and the Kohanim would dip their hands into that rose water, so that when they raised the hand for duchening, it would spread a nice smell in the entire shul. The Taz of Magen Avraham, based on our Gemara, that say Kamalad Recha, causing a nice smell is prohibited, where it wasn't previously, their hands will now have this pleasant fragrant, is awesome. The Chacham Tzvi disagreed, and the Chacham Tzvi said that there is no issue of Moilad Reichoi on a person. And the Chacham Tzvi said because a person's body or his hand is not considered a real item, like a piece of earthenware that the Gemara is discussing, or a garment that the Gemara is discussing, and there is no issa mild reich on a person. Taz and Magen Avraham, as I said, disagree. I also saw that the Guinness Verodim says that a person's body, because it creates perspiration and it will quickly cause the pleasant fragrant that you apply to it to dissipate, is another reason why there is no issa mild reich on a person. Rav Amar, Rava is even more mekel. He holds like Shmuel, and he holds agabi gecheles nami mutter. He could even put the fruit on top of burning coals. Midah dehava basra gumri, just as meat could be roasted on coals. Why? So Rashi explains that this is pshat in Rava, and this is pshat in Shmuel, that really it's considered a davar shavu kol nefesh. Everybody enjoys fruits that have this pleasant smell. Yes, in ancient times, it was only the wealthy people that could afford and practiced having their fruits, ashen, absorb this nice smell. But it's not that the poor people were adverse to it. They unfortunately couldn't afford it. Rashi, on the previous Amid, quotes a Gemara Masechta Ksubis, that the Gemara says, the halacha is that a deer, which is an expensive meat, could be caught on Yontif, could be prepared on Yontif. Even though only wealthy people eat deer meat, it's not that poor people don't eat deer meat. They can't afford to eat deer meat. But it's a davar shavu kol nefesh that everybody can enjoy it if they could have it accessible to them, and therefore it's mutter, just like you're allowed to roast meat. So the Shita asks, what was necessary for Rava to bring down just like you're allowed to roast meat? Rava should have said, it's mutter, it's a davar shavu kol nefesh, it's oichel nefesh. So the Shita says what Rava wants to teach us. Rava wants to teach us that, as he said on top of the Gemara, on top of the Amid, the Gemara said, agabi cheris, do by putting the smoke on the fruit from the cheris, it's certainly a preferable way. There are less shilas. So one would think, says the Shita, that perhaps, even though Rav is telling us that you're allowed to be ma'ashen as a peris, perhaps use earthenware, which will have less shilas than using coals, says Rav. When one roasts meat on coals, certainly there are more shilas involved than when one just would cook a piece of meat in a pot. When you roast meat on a coal, like we learned on the previous Amid, there's a question of machaba when you put the meat on the coal. There's a question of mavir when the coals ignite again. Yet the halach is, if one wants to eat roasted meat on Yontif, he's allowed to roast the meat. Oichel nefesh is mutter on Yontif. Tells us Rava, if one wants to have these peiris that have the sweet fragrance on in them, and he wants to have them through coals, he doesn't have to look for cheres. He could use coals. And here we just learned the concept of a davar shavu kol nefesh. The only oichel nefesh that's mutan yantiv is something that's considered davar shavu kol nefesh, something that everybody enjoys. So I saw a number of shilas in this issue. One is, there's a shilat that the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama already discuss. Let's say there's a day of yantiv when it's not that really cold. But there are always people that are more sensitive to the cold than others. So the question is, could the person who is very sensitive to cold allowed to put on a steam, not discussing there's a shiloh of electricity where there's no shiloh of electricity, because for that person, he's cold. However, many other people are not cold. It's not that cold yet. So is that considered a davar shavu kol nefesh or not? The Rama says, nohagu lahakeh. Why? For most people, it's not that cold that they would need heat on such a day. So the Mepaisk can explain. Everybody wants to be warm. There's only a difference what temperature or what is their comfort level. Some people are already cold when it's a higher degree of temperature, and some people are only cold when it's a lower degree. But everybody wants to be comfortable. That's why it's considered davar shavu kol nefesh. There's a Pnei Yeshua. I'm only quoting the Pnei Yeshua. I'm certainly not telling anybody to act according to the Pnei Yeshua that says because of that, one may smoke on Yontif. The Pnei Yeshua says, interesting how the world changes, he says that smoking is healthy. It causes a person to be healthy. So he says everybody wants to be healthy. So some people need the cigarette to be healthy and some people don't. But it's a davar shavu kol nefesh that everybody wants to be healthy. I saw the Stechemid along the same lines. He says the people sometimes smoke to calm their nerves. So everybody wants to be calm. Some people need the cigarette, some people don't. Of course, nowadays, when we know that smoking is just the opposite, that it's not healthy, the halacha may be somewhat different. Or I saw from Rabbi Yoshev that he says that on Yontif you're allowed to take vitamins. Because since the purpose of taking vitamins is to make us feel stronger, better, healthier, that is mutter, and therefore on Yontif may take it, because that's a davar shavu kol nefesh. Dorash Rav Gvim Bei Kossel, Apischa de Bei Resh Gelusa. Gvil Bei Kossel made the following drosha by the entrance to the home of Resh Gelusa. Ketura Shori. He said, you're allowed to do Ketura. Amalei Amreima, my Ketura. What does Ketura mean? Iktur biyadi, if it means to press the sleeves of clothing. They used to put it on some sort of a contraption to straighten them out. That's certainly osan yontif. Maisa umenhu, it requires profession, and that's osir. Vila ashen, and if his purpose is to smoke fruit, osir to come a chaba. Isn't it osir because he's causing the coals to become extinguished? Amalei ravashil oilam. Lashin, it means that you're allowed to smoke produce. Midrahava basar gumi, like we just explained, you're allowed to put meat on coals. Ikadamri, only a meme of my ketura. He asked them, what is ketura? Iktur biyodi, if it means pressing the sleeves of the clothing. My suman who. Ilashin, and if it's lashin, it's also the kamal drecha. Aravashi, and no amarte nale. Umishmei de gavre. Amrita Nala, instead of the name of a great person, Lilim La'ashin, it means that you're allowed to smoke fruits, Midahava Basa Gurmre, just like you're allowed to smoke roast meat on coals, although the meat creates an aroma in the coals, it's still mutter. Similarly, one can smoke fruit. We learned in the Mishnah, Voicing Dimakulus, there's machlaikas that we can roast a goat with all of the intestines alongside in it on Pesach by night. Tanya Rav Yossi Oimer. Tudus ish roimi, hinig is bnei roimi, lechol gedi mekulis b'lei l'psothim. He allowed the people in Rome to eat this roasted gedi on Pesach. Sholchalei, they sent him the following message. El mulei tudus ata. If not that you were tudus, gazrano lechonidui, we would put you into cheirim. Shatamachas bnei Yisrael kotchim b'chutz. You're making Klal Yisrael eat kachim outside of Yerushalayim. Asking Mar kachim sacha daitach. It wasn't a carbon Pesach. It was just roasted meat. Elaimik ain kachim. Since they look so similar to the carbon Pesach, people will make the mistake perhaps that you're allowed to eat kachim outside Yerushalayim, and that's why he shouldn't be allowed to do it. But just because you were tudus, and the Ksav Sofer teaches us the Rashi calls tudus chachim gadol v'nichbad. He had two great attributes. He was a Talmud Chacham, and he was also a Nichbad. Nichbad, says the Ksav Sofer, was he was a big Baal Tzedakah. That's why they avoided putting him into Cheirim. Sholosh Devarim, says the Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Azariah Matter. There are three things Rav Elazar says that we're allowed to do. The Chum Maisim, the Chum disagree and say they're also. Parasa Yoitzav Ritzushim and Kanel. The cow of Rav Elazar ben Azariah will go out on Shabbos to the Shus Rabbim with a strap between its horns. The loch is something that an animal is carrying, wearing lenoi for an ornament is mutter, because it's called a tachshit. The Gemara Masech the Shabbos teaches us that an animal may wear a tachshit, but something that an animal wears to carry is a masri and is also. And here, the Mishnah teaches us, Rav Elazar ben Azariah said that allowed his animal to go out that way on Yontif. The Mefarshim point out, Rashi says, that this is a halacha regarding Shabbos. Because they say that only on Shabbos is there a din of Shvisis Behemtoi, where a person has to make sure that not only he doesn't work, but only his behema also doesn't work. On Yontif, there is no halacha of Shvisis behemta. And actually, it's a proof to this. Because we look at the next din in the Mishnah, that the din of an animal, Shvisis behemta, is only in Shabbos. Because the next din in the Mishnah is, Umekadnitz behema beyontif. We could comb an animal with a metal comb on Yontif. Says the Taisus Yontif. Why does the Mishnah have to say Umekadnitz behema beyontif? Isn't our whole Masechta speaking about Hilchos Yontif? As we said, our Masechta is called by the Rishonim Masechta Yontif, to teach us that only this halacha of Mekadnes Behem B'Yontif is halacha on Yontif. But the first halacha mentioned in our Mishnah of the animal going out with Ritzuah is regarding Shabbos. There are other Rishonim, however, that hold that this is halacha Shvisis Behemta applies even to Yontif. So the next halacha is Mekadnes Behem B'Yontif. We could comb an animal with a metal comb on Yontif, and we're not concerned that we may make a chabura, we may cause blood to come out when we comb it this way on Yontif. V'shoichekin as a pilpul in Berchaim Shalem, and we could grind peppercorns in their grinder. So the Mepharshim explained, what's the shaila of grinding pepper on Yontif? So Rashi says that it's not that it's necessarily a melacha d'oraisa, it's an uvda d'chol. If one goes and starts taking a grinder and grinding, and like the Rivash explains, it was very common when used a grinder, he would grind a lot of peppers. It's an uvda d'chol that's also. Others say that the Rajba, the Bi'al Locha quotes the Rajba, says that it's a shaila v'd'oraisa, because as we quote, the Tosfos says on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph that only certain melachos are mutter from Eichel Nefesh, from the list of Masechta Shabbos of the 39 melachos from Loshen on. This toichen is not mutter on Shabbos. Others say that when one does grinding, there's a question of boirer, and boirer is not mutter on Yontif. La halacha lemaisa regarding grinding on Yontif. The Paiskim say as follows. Certainly something which was already once ground may be ground on Yontif. For example, a matzah, which is baked out of flour. Flour, by definition, is ground. One can grind a matzah. Also, something which is not gedulei karka, something that doesn't grow from the ground, fish, meat, cheese, eggs, there's no iser tchina on Yontif. Something that if you would grind before Yontif will not be good on Yontif. The examples are given are potatoes. We know if one leaves ground potatoes, they change color. Bananas, such things may be ground in the normal fashion on Yontif. However, something that will not really get ruined if you grind it before Yontif, even if it will not be as good if you grind it before Yontif as if you would have ground it on Yontif. The best example is maror. If you grind maror on Yontif, when you come home from shul, it'll be sharper than if you ground it on Erev Yontif. Still, since even if you grind it on Erev Yontif, it'll certainly be fine. One is not allowed to grind it in the regular manner on Yontif. One must use a shinui when grinding such items on Yontif. And Aloch is really anything that, even if it would be just as fine if it would be ground before Yontif, if one did not grind before Yontif, he may grind it on Yontif with a shinui. Rabbi Yehuda Aima, continues the Mishnah, Eim Mekanis Behem B'Yontif, we cannot comb the animal with a metal comb on Yontif, Nesh Oysa Chabura. It makes a Chabura, and as Rabbi Yehuda holds, as we'll see in the Gemara, Adav Hashem Miskaven is Osir. Av Mekartzpin, we're allowed to comb it with a wooden comb, which has thick teeth that do not wound the animal. Chamayim, now to use this metal comb, nor the wood comb. Ask the Gemara, Lememra, the Gemara said that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow went out wearing this band. Lememra, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Chad para havale, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah only have one cow. Vamarav, Vamalei, Amar Yehuda Marav, Tleis alfa egli, 13,000 calves, have a master of Elazar ben Azariah, Me'edrikol Shat V'Shatay, who would take his mice every year. That means if 13,000 was 10%, he had 130,000 cows.
So Tosfos asks, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was after the Churban, so there was no Meiser. So Tosfos gives a number to Rutzim. One Teretz Tosfos says is that he was a small child when the Beis Hamikdash still stood, and his apotropos gave from his flock this Meiser. Another Teretz says that it doesn't mean Meiser as we understand it. It means what he gave taxes. Another pshat I saw is not that he actually gave it; he could have given it. And yet another pshat that I saw is that even though the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and there was no longer a chi of meiser, he still gave 10% of his flock to kohanim as a matnas kahuna, and that's what the Gemara is referring to. So ask the Gemara, how can we say he only had one cow? Tana lo shalai haisa, it wasn't his cow. El shashchintai haisa, it was his neighbor's. However, he didn't protest when she would do this. Nikras al shemai, it's considered as if he did it. And as the Ben Yehuda explains, if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah really believed that this was Osir, he would have told his neighbor it's Osir. The fact that he didn't tell his neighbor it's Osir, it must be because he holds that it's really Mutter. The Mefarshim say, what's the proof that he held that it's Mutter? Maybe he didn't say anything to her, because we have a concept. The Ritva asked this kasha, Hanach lam Yisrael, Mutter shei shogim v'ayim ezidim. He didn't say anything to her because he thought she wouldn't listen. So he says that halacha is only when the person is doing the avera b'shogig. But when the person is doing the avera b'mezid, we certainly have an obligation to tell them they're doing something wrong. Moreover, other Rishonim say, you only have this din that you shouldn't say anything when you know for sure that the person won't listen. How did he know for sure that she would not listen? From here, Reb Kiva Eger proves that Noshim Achayiv in Shvisis Behemtoi. Because there's a question that given that Shvisis Behemtoi is only Mitzvah Sasei, and it's Mitzvah Sasei Shazman Groma, maybe women are not obligated in Shvisis Behemtoi. From the fact that Al Gemara says if Elazar ben Azariah should have told his neighbor who was a woman that she should be careful with Shvisis Behemah, it's a proof that women are obligated in Shvisis Behemah. Or Mekadis Behemah Yontav, we say we could comb the animal with a metal comb on Yontav. Tana Bonin, Eze Kidur Veze Kirtzav. Kirud, says the Gemara, is Ketanim, is when we have a small metal comb with small teeth. Voice of Chaburu, to make a wound. Kirtzav is Gedoilim, is a wood comb with big teeth. They don't cause a chabura. Says the Gemara, give him a chloikus b'dover. There are three shittas in this subject. Rabbi Yehuda sover, dover shem is kavan asur. We know Rabbi Yehuda holds that even something that's unintentional is asur in Shabbos. Therefore, mir, kirut ketanim, when one uses a metal comb with small teeth, he's very likely going to make a wound. Asur chabura, that's why it's asur. Kirtzif is gedoilim, vein asur chabura, and that's why it's mutter. And furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda holds, like Gazrinin, Kirtzif Atakirin. We don't make a gzera on a wood comb because of a metal comb. Rabbanan Savri Nam Krabbi Yehuda. Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda. They hold, Dovashen Meskavin is Osir. However, Gazrinin Kirtzif Atakirin. And that's why they say that not only Kirin is also Kirtzif. That Tzlach explains, what is the machloik of Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim if we make such a gzera or not? Says the Tzlach, the Chacham hold that Tsar Bal Chaim is awesome midaraisa. And that's why we're very careful, and not only do we prohibit Kirud, we even prohibit Kirtzif. However, Yehuda doesn't hold Tsar Bal Chaim is awesome midaraisa. He only holds it's awesome midrabanon, and that's why he doesn't make Xero Kirtzif or the Kirud. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, on the other hand, saw like Rav Shimon that holds Dovashem Meskavin is mutter, and therefore Ben Kirud or Ben Kirtzuf is shari, because it's not for sure that the animal will be wounded. However, says Tosfos, if we know for sure that by using a certain type of comb the animal will be wounded, everybody would agree that's a psik resha and that it's awesome. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman Meshmul, Vamalei Amar Rav Nachman Chudei, Halach Rav Shimon, Halach Rav Shimon. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Moideloi, he agrees that way. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Ravelar of Nachman, V'leim Ma'a Loch Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the proof, who the Halach is like, we should say that Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. Shrei Chachamim Moidim Loi. The Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda. Isn't that an indication that we should pass him like Rabbi Yehuda? Amalei Anok Rav Shimon Sfirlei. I hold like Rav Shimon. So that's why I'm makel on a davar shenu miskaven. And furthermore, here we see Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah agrees to him. Since we discussed grinding peppers, the Mishnah continues discussing a pepper grinder. Harichayim shapilpilin tamei mishum shloshim kelim. The halacha is that pshute kleitz, a wood utensil, is only mekabel tumah when it has a receptacle. If it's straight, the pshute kleitz, it's not mekabel tumah. By klimatches, by metal, it makes no difference, it's always mekabel tumah. Says the Mishnah, a pepper grinder is mekabel tumah because of any of the three parts, each is considered a complete utensil. And therefore Rashi says that even if one of the parts are not there or are broken, if another part is there, the whole keli will become tumah. Tosfos understands the Mishnah to teach us that even if each part is separated from the other, I would say it should not be considered a keli because each one is separate. Still, since each one has independently a status of a keli, it's mekabel tumah, each one separately. The one part is a kli kibbel, it's a receptacle. One part is a kli matches, it's a metal utensil. And one is a kli kavra, it's a sieve. And the Gemara explains, Tana, tachtona, the bottom component of this grinder is mekabel tumah because it's mekli kibble. Even though it's wood, but it's a receptacle. It's where the pepper would fall after being ground, and that's why it's mekabel tumah. And tzois, the middle component, is mekabel tumah because it's a sieve. So Rashi explains, even though it's wood and it's not serving as a receptacle, since it's woven, it's mekabel tumah midrabanan because it's similar to a woven cloth, and a woven cloth are mekabel tumah. So Chazal made exer that even a woven piece of wood should be mekabel tumah. Tosfos disagrees with this approach. Tosfos says that since it's a sieve, it has a din like a kli kibbel. All the food, all the pepper falls on it, and therefore it's considered like a kli eitz that has a receptacle, and it's mekabel tumah. El yoina, the upper part of it, is mekabel tumah mishum klei matches, because it's a metal. That's where we have the grinding mechanism. Even though it's not a receptacle, they were made of wood, but Rashi says they had a plating of metal below the wood, and that was the main material it was made out of. And by wood, as we explained before, it's always mekabel tumah. And the Mefarshim explained, now we could understand the order of our Mishnah. The Mishnah goes and teaches us the order in the smallest chiddush. The first Mishnah says a kli kibbel, the bottom part, which is a receptacle, that for sure is understood as mekabel tumah. The next chiddush is the top part, that even though it's not a receptacle, but since the main material is metal, that's why it's mekabel tumah. The biggest chiddush is the middle part, especially the way Rashi explained, that it's not a receptacle, and it's made out of wood, and it's still mekabel tumah because of the gzeira to woven cloth. A golish or cotton, a child's toy wagon. So Rashi explains that this is a wagon in which a child would sit and be pushed. It would be a toy. Tosfos disagrees, because Tosfos says that such a wagon is no different than any other chair, and our Mishnah doesn't have to teach us. It's obvious that it's tumas medrash, it's susceptible to tumas medrash. Anything a zov sits on is makabel tumas medrash. Therefore Tosfos explains it's some sort of a walker made with three wheels that a child would lean on to walk. And even though it's not really meant to sit on, it's only meant for the child to lean on and support himself when he's walking, it's still considered, and that's the chiddush, that's Tamei Medrash. When it tells B'Shabbos, it may be moved on Shabbos. However, then in the grass of Gabba Kalim, it cannot be, but it can be dragged only over clothing, not on a floor. Yudoymer, Kala Kalim Ein Negrorim, no Kali may be dragged on the ground, chutz min agola, except for a wagon, mibnei shi kaveshes, because it presses the floor. The reason why a wagon can't be pressed, be drawn on the floor, because it looks like chrisha, it moves the earth. However, says Rabbi Yehuda, a wagon only makes a depression or an impression on the earthen floor, it doesn't move any earth, and that's why it's mutter. a gol shakatan, tmei medris, is tmei medris to samachlei, because the chia lines on it, so it's considered something to be sat on, or leaned on, and therefore is mekabel tumas medris. Litalf b'shabbos, it can be moved on Shabbos, mishum dekatar is kliyala, it's considered a utensil, any utensil can be moved on Shabbos. Then in the geras el agab kalim, so says the Gemara, agab kalim in, it could only be dragged on top of clothing, agab karkaloi, but not on the ground, my tam is from the kovet charetz, because it makes a ditch, it makes a furrow when it's dragged on the ground. Mani, who is the Tana of that said this din? Obviously, says the Gemara, it's from Yehudihi. Dama, dava shalim eskaven osur, that says, even if this is not my intention, it's still osur. Because if Reb Shimon, hama dava shalim eskaven mutter, we know Reb Shimon holds a dava shalim eskaven mutter, the Tanan, as we learned, Reb Shimon oimer, goyer adam mita kisav esapsol, a person can drag a bedded chair or a bench, or vachle eskaven lasis charitz, as long as he doesn't intend to make a furrow. So where our Mishnah says that one may not pull one of these things, and must be going according to Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, Eima Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Yehuda Aymer, and I call Negron B'Shabbos, no utensil may be dragged on the ground on Shabbos, Chutz Ben Agol, except for a wagon, Mneshi Kaveshes, because it presses on the ground. And what do we learn Mneshi Kaveshes in? Because it presses, it doesn't move any earth, Ava Chritz Lo Avda, but it doesn't make any furrow. So we see that this implies that one can drag a wagon. On the previous thing we just explained of Yehuda holds, that ton of our Mishnahs of Yehuda holds, you can't drag a wagon. So is it or isn't it? Answers the Gemara, Trey Tanoi V'Liv Rabbi Yehuda. Does Machloikas Noyim what Rabbi Yehuda holds? The Tanakam of our Mishnah holds that even though a wagon normally does not move any earth, but sometimes a wheel does not turn properly, and that it does move earth, and that's what the Tanna Kamma holds, Rabbi Yehuda will hold, that not only will all kelim not be allowed to be dragged on earth on Shabbos Yontif, even a wagon may not be drawn. However, the second Shita holds, Rabbi Yehuda holds, yes, all things may not be dragged on the earth, because it's concerned that it'll make a ditch. A wagon doesn't make a ditch. To be concerned that the wagon may break and then will make a ditch, the second sheet of Yehuda holds, we don't have to be concerned for that, and therefore it's mutter. Hadron loch yontov, hadron loch yontov, hadron loch yontov.